Definitely enjoy your Thanksgiving. So much to be thankful for. Amen. Enjoy your family and enjoy the time that you have and that we have with our friends and family. I'm trying to be nice before I get into the word. I love you all this morning. Did I say 1 John? I don't know if I said that. 1 John 2:15. Let's start at 19. 1 John 2:19. And 20. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Not all of us. Verse 20, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Amen. Look at 1 John 1 and 7. We covered this a little bit last week, but I'm going to start here with a quick review. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. I guess if I'm going to give this a message, this message a title, I guess it would be light and dark, light versus dark. We talked about fellowship, how fellowship depends on transparency. It depends on trust, communication. So you can have friendship and not have fellowship. So you can have friendship. There are people in your job, people that you know, and they're just friends. You don't have fellowship because you can't go deeper, because you can't be transparent. You can't talk about the things of God. So that's friendship. You hope your relationships move from friendship to fellowship, where you can talk about the deeper things of God. But most relationships our friendship. And then those, but think about it. You can have fellowship with someone who's not your friend. Amen. You could be somewhere and you introduce yourself, whether it's a bus ride, it's a train ride, you're at a restaurant, you're somewhere, and you talk to someone about God. And it gets real deep and it's transparent. They talk about how God has blessed their life, how God has healed them from cancer, how God has done this. And you share what you've done, what God has done in your life. And for that brief moment, you say, you know what, thank you for that quick moment of fellowship, because it's transparent and it talks about the deeper things of life with God. So we talked about friendship, fellowship, and then we talked about sinship. And that's when you hang out with friends and all y'all do is commit sin. That's what you want to avoid at all cost. That's what you want to avoid at all cost. And right here in 1 John 1 and 7, it talks about how light has no fellowship with darkness. And it's interesting how this works. The whole irony of it, how as a kid, I remember being a kid and I was kind of afraid of the dark like most kids, right? You know, they say in your house, especially in black people's house, they say the dirtiest part of the house is the light switch, because I don't care. You could come outside, you cutting that light on because you're afraid of the dark. So I was a kid. I was afraid of the dark. But then look how it shifts, and look at it as a spiritual sense as well. Then as you get older, you kind of like the darkness because you can get away with stuff in the dark.
That's right.
And then you kind of, okay, the dark is kind of cool. And then God does something in your life and you realize that the darkness is not your friend. And then when you talk to most people, you realize now they're not afraid of the dark. They're afraid of the light. Because now the light exposes darkness. And that's why people will tell you, I don't discuss religion and I don't discuss politics. They'll tell you, I don't want to talk about the light because I'm cool being dark. I'm so comfortable in my darkness, you messing my darkness up. It's not that they're afraid of religion or politics. I'm not talking religion or politics. I'm talking about a relationship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But we don't want to deal with the light because it exposes us. And that's why I said you cannot have fellowship, light and fellowship, light and darkness cannot fellowship together. Jesus tells us, turn quickly with me to Matthew 5. Right after Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about us being the light. See, Jesus is the light. When we're inside Christ, we are the light. Matthew 5 and 14, it talks about us being light and salt. Salt preserves, salt gives flavor, light illuminates, light exposes. That's why people don't want you. You can say anything about God, the man upstairs, but when you talk about Jesus Christ, because he was the light of the world, and when we're in him, we are the light of the world. When you talk about Jesus Christ, they don't want to hear it because it exposes the darkness. And so here we are in a world that God created. In the beginning, God said, let there be Elohim, the creator. God said, let there be. But then what we've done and what the world has done and which we're buying into, here's God's world. Then we created this other world within God's world. And now we've created a world without God, or where we're the gods, or it's our associations, or it's our schools, or it's our sports teams, or it's us, or it's our music industry, or it's TV industry. And then we create this world and we give out awards in this world. We have the American Music Awards. We have the Grammys. We have the Oscars. And so we have this whole world. And God is saying, have you forgotten about me? And then when we have to step out of it, because it's like a treadmill. It's like a hamster wheel. And you get so caught up in that world and you can't see what God created. That's why we need to come to church, so we can step out into the light and go, oh, God, that ain't even real. Whew. And I remember playing sports and you get tired and you got to catch your breath. But when you step out of this one, it's a whole different position. Where, oh, God, that wasn't even real. Oh, I need to get back close to you. You got to step out of it, because it's a world within a world. And it's a mirage. When you get to the scriptures, it's a hard word. That's why nobody wants to hear the word anymore. They want to come to church and be tickled. But God said he sent the Holy Spirit to teach us. If he wanted to tickle us, he would have sent the feather. He wouldn't have sent the Holy Spirit. Sent the Holy Spirit to teach us. Nobody wants to be taught, because it's a hard word. Because look how hard it is. So when you have somebody within that world and they pass away, and we want to make them save. Well, they were a comedian. They passed away. I bet they're up there telling jokes. No, you're not going to laugh your way out of this one. God just needed somebody up there to come up and play music. No, he already had the angels to do that. So we try and make them save within this world, because we don't want to, when we step out and see that we have to answer to God, that's a hard line. That's a hard place to be in. And they say, well, you just can't write it on the wall and put RIP in a thing and think that's going to get somebody in. It's not that easy. I mean, we talk about light and darkness. We talk about the family of God and the family of the devil. We're going to get there in just a minute. And remember, there's no rest. If you didn't live in peace, how are you going to die and rest in peace? And then you have RIP, but you need the POP, which is the Prince of Peace. It's no rip without the pop. You're not going to rip without the pop. Let them know. You just can't write it on the wall. It's just not, it doesn't work like that. So family, as I've been studying, I know, and I'm saying, God, this is just a hard word, but God is saying, look, the deception is real out there. I can't come in here and try and pretend like, you know, you can name it and claim it and grab it and blab it, and it's all about this world. It's not. It's about living right, and whatever God has for you, you get it by living right and being obedient, and God opens those doors for you. But the world, they'll eat their own. And you can't play that game. You can't have one foot in and one foot out. It just doesn't work. So you do have to draw the line in the sand and choose which family that you're going to live for and represent. You'll be on that hamster wheel your whole life, and Satan is hoping that you die on that wheel and never see the light. All right, here we go. That's Matthew. I got a lot to cover this morning. Matthew 5 and 14. Well, let's start at 13. It says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor or its flavor, wherewith shall it be salted? We are to be salt. You're the flavor on your job. You're not laughing at all the jokes. You're not looking at all the other crazy stuff they're looking at. You're not, you know, they're cursing and all that other kind of stuff. And they want to know what's wrong with you. Let them know. I'm just kind of like the salt of the earth right here. We're the reminder that God is real. We're the reminder that life as we know it, according to the world, is a mirage. And yes, I love my sports teams. I'm a huge fan and of sports, and every time I tell my stories about how I played baseball in high school and tried to play in college, it gets bigger and bigger. Every time I tell it, so I can tell one right now, but I'm not. Amen. But I realize, I think we're what, Super Bowl 50 or something like that. Well, we have 50, 51 somewhere. Let's say 55. It's only 55 years. People have sold their souls out for a sport that's only been in existence for 55 years. Christ died on the cross 2014 years ago. 55 years, 2000. Which one's real and which one's an illusion? And you know, I'm watching, you see people with their face painted, their hair painted. I'm going, are you kidding me? But that's their passion. That's how we should be passionate about. That's why I don't mind being salt and I don't mind being light. If somebody's selling themselves out for a team, I'm going to sell myself out for God, especially when I know the truth. If you don't mind painting your face for your team and screaming and hollering, I sure don't mind sharing the gospel. So I have to be quiet. If you don't mind coming to work and talking to all that stuff about what you and who and what and them and they and what y'all did, I'm sure going to talk about, well, you know, I was at church praising the Lord. I was at church learning about God. Well, yeah, I'm the weird one. I'm the weird one at work. But then it's funny how they seek you out and say, you know what? You know, I'm not really the religious one. I know you go to church, but, you know, my mom has cancer. My grandma was hoping you could pray for him. Oh, yeah, I will. As a matter of fact, would you like to pray right now? I'll pray with you right now, too. So they're taking note. It's okay to be salt. It's okay to be light. Somebody has to remind the world that this thing is not real. And as the Bible said, it's appointed for man to die once, and after that, the judgment. We're not going to get out of here alive. We all have to answer to God. And you have to make that decision before you go. You can't make somebody saved. That's right. They have to make that decision. Yes. We all have to make that decision for ourselves. All right, so 5:13. You are the salt of the earth, but the salt has lost its flavor. Wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing. Please don't be a good for nothing Christian. But to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. Yeah, they'll make a fool. If you're 1 foot in, 1 foot out, if you playing with this thing, they're going to clown you. You're going to be made a fool of. You'll be good for nothing. And they'll clown you, and they'll blame God that God doesn't exist because of your raggedy lifestyle. And we never want to misrepresent God like that. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. You should not be hiding your light under a bushel. Those on your job, those in your family, they should know that you stand for something. And if that's Jesus Christ, you need to make it known. You should not be hiding under a bushel. People sure put their foolishness out there. I'm surprised. I'm embarrassed with some people just hearing their conversation. I would never say, even when I was out in the world, I wouldn't say that. Even when I wasn't saved, I wouldn't have done that. But people don't care. There's no limits. There's no boundaries to say anything. So why do I have to be the one? Why do you and I have to be the one that's quiet? When we represent the light, don't put your light under a bushel. But put on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. You light up your job, whether you realize it or not. You light up your house. You light up your family. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Amen. Let's go to John. We'll get back to 1 John, but let's go to John. Find John. Let's go to John 3:16. Very familiar passage. I'll start there just so it's in its context. When you're there, say amen. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Make sure you have a star by 17 if you don't already. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It's a beautiful scripture. Because most people have the wrong idea about the characteristic of God. God is not out to get us. We talked about it before. That's too easy. Look back at your life. Look at some of the precarious situations we were in. That's too easy. If God wanted you, none of us would be here. If he was standing up there sending down lightning bolts as opposed to grace and mercy, none of us would be here. Sometimes you just have to educate people on your job. He didn't send his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 19 is where I was trying to go. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, that exposure has come into the world. But there's a problem. You know what the problem is? But men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So you see what we're up against. Nobody's happy. You're not going to pat you on the back because you're living for God and you're serving God. You've committed your life for God. You're not going to get a pat on the back for that. Maybe some will, but most won't, because now you're going to expose them. You talk to the gentleman about how you treat your wife and how you honor your wife. They don't want to hear that because they're stepping out on their wife. They don't want to be exposed. You talk about how you're raising your kids, you're being there, and they don't want to hear that because they're hiding behind the job or the business not to be with their family. They don't want to hear the light. And how you'll work hard and you'll go without before you take a dishonest dollar. They don't want to hear that because they want to get over on the job. No, my time almost up. So you know what you're up against. You're up against light, against darkness. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither come to the light unless his deeds should be exposed. Oh, boy. Did I say happy Thanksgiving? Happy Thanksgiving, South Bay Abundant Life Church. That's why people are afraid. It's flipped. We used to be afraid of the dark, but now we're afraid of the light because my deeds are going to be exposed. And then I have to make a decision to do something with my life, either to live for God or to knowingly stay in darkness. And so I get caught up in everything that the world has to offer, and I stay self-medicated, so I never have to deal with the reality that I'm actually living in darkness. That's why the word tells us to be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy, and that's it. He's not your friend. He's not playing with you. Verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are based in God. So I want to come to the light because I'm living in truth. And I realize, God, I need help. God, I don't have it all together. God, help me. And everything I do is no hidden agenda, is no ulterior motive. It's all based in you, God. And I want to glorify you in all that I'm doing. That's you and I. That's what you and I should be doing. That's what we should be praying. That God, I want you to expose. God, anything that's not like you, expose it. So I can start living for you. I'm going to have to add that to the prayer in the back of the bulletin. God, don't let me get away with nothing. Anything that's not like you, Lord, expose it. So I can stay in the light. I'm done with darkness. Amen? Amen. Somebody say amen. We've been in darkness too long. And look at Isaiah. Go to Isaiah 6. And I didn't tell you, Natalie, but we're going to be all over the place today. Look at Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6 and 1. You know, what we discovered over the last couple of weeks is that we have to get real with God, because we discovered that just coming to church doesn't make us a Christian. Because some of us went home and we tried it. I stayed in the garage for a couple hours and I didn't become a car. Coming to church doesn't make you a Christian, just like sitting in your garage doesn't make you a car. It doesn't happen by osmosis. You have to make a commitment and you have to live this thing. And when you look at the light, it has to have a transforming effect on your life. Amen. When you look at God, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes we just gotta, I love coming to church just because it puts things in perspective. And then even on Wednesday nights, from Sunday to Wednesday, you'll be amazed at how many things happen from Sunday to Wednesday. And then Wednesday, come in and step out of that and go, okay, God, thank you for putting my life back in perspective. Just in those 3 days, you can lose perspective. In a week, you can lose perspective. And then you come and you hear the word, you go, what was I doing? And you got it. You have to stay close. Because too much happens. And if you don't have your life in perspective, then you can kind of get lost and start sliding off. You should be somewhere, whether it's here or not, but you should be somewhere. You got to, just like putting gas in your car, you got to stay running on full. You run on empty, boy, you get tired and you're on the side of the road, and that's not a good look. You don't want to be on the side of the road of life. But here's Isaiah. Something happened to him. And did I say Isaiah 6? 6:1. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting up on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Family, get a picture of that. God gave Isaiah a glimpse of him on the throne. Think about that. When you're out doing what you do, when you're out saying what you say, when you're out thinking that nobody knows, just get this picture, get this glimpse, allow this scripture to come to mind where you see the Lord lifted up on his throne and his train filling the temple. His glory fills the temple. Above it, verse 2, above it stood the seraphims, which are angels. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with the other two he flew. And one cried unto another and said, holy, underline this, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. You can't pick and choose the scriptures. People want to tell you, you know, God is love. You should love everybody. You embrace everybody. You're tolerant. God, stop right there. Take them to Isaiah 6 and 1. He's holy. He's separate. He's set apart. You see his train up there on the temple, filling the temple. He's not like us. Yes, he is love, but he's holy. Don't you forget that. He's separate. He doesn't stand for foolishness. You can't pick scriptures and take them out of context and say that he loves everybody. You should love everybody. Yeah. He's holy. Okay, if that's the case, I love everybody. He's holy. You should be holy too. Right. You can't have the love without the holiness. You can't have the holiness without the love either. Because then you're so in the clouds, people can't even relate to you because you praise the Lord. How you doing today? Praise the Lord. Blessed and highly favored. Can we just have a decent conversation for once? Please, can we just talk? I want to talk about the sorry Lakers right now. Okay, can we talk about that? Let's just have a decent conversation. Everything can't be praise the Lord, blessed and highly favored. Come on now. So you can't be that holy without the love. And you just can't say I love everybody and not be holy. No, that's not the way it works. So balance, family. Don't be the weird Christian. Okay. Yeah, I'm different, but I'm not weird. Yeah, you can be different without being weird, Brother Ingram. Don't be the weird one. It's not a sin to talk about sports. It's not. It's not a sin to watch a game. It's not. I can watch the game. I can appreciate it. My team lose, my king never loses. You know, my team can lose, but my king never does. So I'm cool with it. I get the team, all right, whatever. That's why I worship the king. I enjoy that, but I worship the king. He never loses. Even when they thought he lost on that cross, he rose again and said, no way. I told you. Oh, I'm not the loser in this one. I told you 3 days I'm raising up. Even they thought he lost, he didn't. I can appreciate my sports. I can watch the game and separate myself and go worship my king. And you're not going to catch me with my face painted and screaming and all that. No. Only if it's for Jesus. Oh, but it gets better. Verse 3, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved. It shook as if it was an earthquake. And the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke, with the anointing, with the sweet smelling Savior, with the aroma of God. And then Isaiah said, oh, my goodness. Verse 5, he said, woe is me. He saw God and said, I didn't know God was like that. I thought I could do what I want to do and God would just be, oh, that's all right. God forgives you. Oh, everybody's doing it. He stopped and said, man, I'm destroyed. So guys, I got to change my life today. When you get a glimpse of God like that, you stop and you pause and go, I remember being in college when I got challenged by my roommate. He came and spoke at the installation a year ago or whenever we had a year and a half ago. And he challenged me and he said, man, how is your walk with God? And I said, man, you know, God understands what I'm doing. He said, bro, God don't understand that. They invited me to the church that we went to, the first church that I can remember stepping foot in. I was 20. Well, I mean, as going to church. 2021, went to Maranatha. I heard the word and I said, whoa. Got to change my life today. When you have an encounter with God like Isaiah did right here, you stop and you pause. And you realize we're all going to stand before God. And either I'm going to represent myself or I'm going to be represented by the blood of Jesus Christ, which covers all my sins because I've been fellowshipping in the light. That's what it said. If you fellowship in the light, then your sins are covered and you're cleansed from all unrighteousness. But if you're in darkness, you got to stand there and try and explain to God how he understands why you lived the way you did in this world and never stepped outside of it into his world to actually see what he was about. In a world that God created, we've locked God out and we don't want to hear from God. Now, that's ridiculous. And we're cool with worshiping the creatures and not the creator. So here's Isaiah, verse 5. Then said I, whoa, is me, for I am undone. I'm destroyed. Because when you get close to God, when that light comes, then you see yourself for who you really are. Because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. When you get close to God, that light is exposed, and you go, I got to get my, it's not even about my wife or my kids. It's about, I got to get myself together. See, it takes all the spotlight off of all the excuses. It's not my boss. It's not my job. It's not my dad who wasn't there or my dad who was there, or my mom who was there, or my mom wasn't there. It's not about the boss. It's not about the employees. It's not about how somebody hurt me in the past. It's not about this. It's not about the church that you attend. It's not about, it's all about you and God. And you go, wow, I got to get myself together. That's why people don't want to be exposed to the light, because they have a moment like this where they say, I thought I had it going on and I'm this and I'm that. And I received all these worldly awards. So I am somebody. Then you step in and you look at God and go, whoa, man, I'm destroyed. I've been fooling myself all this time. Then I said, woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm destroyed because I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, underline that, the King, the Lord of hosts. Yes. Remember, there is many kings, but there is only one. That's why they call Jesus Christ. He's the King of kings. It's okay. Give honor to whom honor is due. That's all right. But when it comes down to it, there are presidents and princes and all that, but there's one King of kings. And when your eyes have seen the true King, the King of kings, the Lord of hosts, it puts everything in perspective. I got to get myself together. I have to stop making excuses. I have to stop blaming everybody else. And I have to get myself together. This is between me and God. Now, this is personal. I love the way God set it up. He didn't say, well, I got to get all these other people together. He said, I got to get myself together. Verse 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken off the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and I said, lo, this has touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged, or your sin is forgiven. They had to have hot coals. We have a Lord and Savior. We have the Lamb of God. We have the blood of Jesus. Sacrifice once and for all, taking the sins away, past, present, and future. So you don't get to heaven because of what you've done. You get to heaven because of what he's done. We could never work our way there. He's not going to say, well, you know what? You were smoking or you were drinking or you were doing this. He's going to say, you never accepted me. You never had an atonement for your sin. You can't approach me like that. You need something covering you. Even in his mercy with Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they sewed on fig leaves and tried to cover themselves. That's the wrong thing. We try and cover ourselves, and God had to kill. A sacrifice had to be made then, and God in his mercy even sewed, lamb skins or animal skins for them. God said, you know what? You messed up, but you still need to be covered. Before I send you out, you still need to be covered. Oh, you got to deal with some consequences because of what you've done, but you're covered. Even back in the garden, he showed how he covers us, how it was a type and shadow of Christ coming to cover us for our sins. You have to make an atonement for your sin. Something has to represent you. It'd be foolish to represent yourself. But when you're in darkness, you don't care about that. You cool, I'll deal with it when I get there. Okay. And you will. Verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Who's going to be light in here? Then said I, here I am. Send me. So God's asking us this morning, as I was going over this, so I'm studying all week, and who's going to be the light? Who's going to represent God? Family, job, business, gym, store, church. Will anybody stand up and be light? As we dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips, which represents people that will say anything, do anything, proclaim anything, will we be the light and stand for Christ? We're going to stop right here. I'll say happy Thanksgiving. Let us close out in prayer. Maybe someone's here and they say, Pastor, you know, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Let's give someone the opportunity. So if you would just bow your head and just pray for someone that's here this morning who hasn't accepted Christ. Pray for them. Start interceding. And then maybe there's someone who here who needs to rededicate their life, who needs to stop and pause like Isaiah did and just go, man, kind of gotten a little out there. I need to get it together. Then maybe someone's here and they're looking for a church home. They just need somewhere to come where the word is being taught and the people love God. No games, no tricks, no gimmicks, no hidden agenda. We're trying to live right. We're trying to be the light. We're trying to fellowship in the light. We're trying to expose the darkness. We want to live holy, but we also know that we have the love there. We're a balanced church. We try our best to be balanced. So maybe someone needs a church home. So if you're here and you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Never accepted Christ. Or maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life. I want to get right with Christ. I got to get back on track. I'm not going to wait for the new year. Like Isaiah said, right now, today, I'm going to get my life right. If that's you and you want to rededicate, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Or maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I'm looking for a church home. I'm just kind of wandering with no place to go, but I'd love to get established here and find my purpose and my method in God and just grow with this church. If that's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your people. I'd love to be your pastor. Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the challenge from your word to be salt, to be light, to illuminate, to get our lives right, to grow in your grace and in your mercy, to share the light with others so they may see the good works in us and glorify God who's in heaven. God, give us the courage to let our light shine. Not in a weird way, but in a godly, loving, holy way. Let us be balanced Christians. Let us be able to talk about the things of God and any other thing, but always pointing it and bringing it back to the goodness of God. We thank you, Lord, for this upcoming Thanksgiving day. We're thankful, Lord, that we learned a long time ago, any day that we're allowed to get up is Thanksgiving Day. We thank you every day. We don't wait for one day, but every day when you allow our eyes to open, we're committed to give you praise and worship. Lord, keep us safe, cover us, protect us, lead, guide, and direct us until we meet again. We love you on today, Lord. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for the challenge. Holy Spirit, give us the courage and the spirit-filled life to live this thing. Not to just be hearers of the word, but doers. Let us apply this word to our life. We love you, Lord. We thank you and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give somebody a hug and God bless you. Love you. You are dismissed. The youth, you are meeting at the church and you'll get a call as also 9 a.m. Saturday morning to prepare for Youth Sunday. Oh, Youth Sunday, 9 a.m. cleanup. Saturday, 9 a.m.